Morning, church. Thank you for having me. You're a lovely bunch of people. Decided that already. For those that don't know me, my name is Laura, and I'm married to Dave. And we lead the church in Rayleigh, in Essex. Most people have never heard of Rayleigh, but it's like a posh bit of South End. That's enough said. So we planted our church 22 years ago. We'd been married a year. Thought it was a good idea to then plant a church. I don't know what we were thinking. And we've led the church ever since. And then for the last, I think, 15 years, we have served the Vineyard movement as the area leaders for the churches that exist in Essex and Kent. And we have been privileged, genuinely privileged enough to know Glenn and Amanda for, I think, all of that time in a number of different roles and a number of different guises. And so to see what's been established here is just the most amazing thing. And you guys are all part of that. So amazing, amazing things. I've been asked to talk about prophecy. And I'm not actually going to talk for very long because I'm going to get you to do it. So I hope you're awake. So if you need to get some more caffeine. In the Bible, it talks about, basically, the whole Bible is about learning how to be a word worker. So if you read through the Gospels, Jesus would often talk about something and then he'd model it. Or he would model it, completely blow people away, and then he'd explain what he had done. And the 3 years that he was doing ministry with the disciples, he was a word worker. So he'd teach the scriptures and then show exactly what he was talking about. And certainly if you know anything about the Vineyard, the founder of the Vineyard was a guy called John Wimber. And he talked about in his testimony, if you've never heard it, apart from the poor quality of the audio, it's a really, really good listen. Because one of his passions about planting a Vineyard church was that we would learn to be kingdom people that did the stuff. So rather than just turning up on a Sunday and being our Sunday Christian, and then walking out the door and then just going back to normal, whatever that is. He wanted us, and he talked about building a church where people could be naturally supernatural, wherever they found themselves. And he talked about, in his testimony, he talks about, when do we get to do the stuff? And he'd gone to a pastor where he'd become a Christian. So when do we get to do the stuff? And the guy was like, oh, no, it's just enough to believe it. And he was like, well, that sucks. I want to do the stuff. You talked about healing. I want to heal some people. We're going to teach about prophecy, and then we're going to do the stuff. Okay? So if you have a Bible or a phone, that's where most people find their Bibles these days. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, there are many passages that talk about spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about particular gifts. And specifically, it talks about the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues. And I'm just going to dip into this chapter and just pull out a few verses. Follow the way of love. This is verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Verse 3, anyone who prophesies speaks to men or women or children for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. And then towards the end of the chapter, it talks about if you receive a prophetic word, you should weigh it up. So if I stand here this morning and say to Amanda, Amanda, leave Glen, move to the Sahara and open a florist, and she did it on the strength of that word, you would agree she's crazy. She would need to weigh that word up significantly. That's not the Lord, by the way. When we teach about prophecy, we always say never, ever, ever put someone in a corner kind of with your words. So rather than, you don't give a word and say, thus says the Lord. Because if someone says, thus says the Lord, well, if it's God, I can't possibly disagree with that. So normally, if I'm giving a prophetic word, I'll be like, I don't know if this is God, I'm not sure, please weigh this up. But God, I feel like God might be saying, because we're all intelligent grown-ups. So we're not leading a creche, we're leading a church of grown-ups. And people can use their intelligence and their common sense and their godly wisdom to weigh up words. And it says that here in Corinthians. You should carefully weigh, this is verse 29, carefully weigh what is said. Carefully weigh. All who prophesy should be encouraged and instructed. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. And basically, the Corinthian church was an amazing church, a busy church, and they had absolutely everything going for them, but they kind of did everything to excess. And so when Paul is writing to them, the Apostle Paul, he's saying, look, you're doing brilliantly, but just calm down a little bit. Just calm down and just do things orderly so that it doesn't get crazy. That's basically the book of Corinthians. Therefore, my brothers, this is right at the end of the chapter, be eager to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. Everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. And that's the second time that that verse is said. Use everything in a fitting and orderly way. God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. Now, that whole chapter, interestingly, comes after the chapter about love. Everything we do with any spiritual gift has to be done in love. So when we pray for someone, when we give a word, when we prophesy, when we serve someone, whatever we're doing, the person that we are taking care of, or giving a word to, or praying for healing, should feel better than when they arrived. So you can pray for someone for healing, and even if they're not healed in that moment, doesn't mean God isn't doing anything, but they certainly should feel loved and cared for and noticed. So when we prophesy over people, when we give them words, it should be for their strengthening, for their encouragement, and for their comfort. And interestingly, when we use the kind of gift of prophecy, which is basically trying to hear from God and then impart that word to someone else so that they feel encouraged or strengthened or comforted, a couple of really interesting things happen. So the person who gives the word, if you give a prophetic word to someone, often the reaction is, wow, I can hear God. Wow, God's real. I'm not crazy. This thing is real. And God wants to use me. And so faith rises up in that person, and expectation. And I've kind of got the prophetic bug now. I want to do this. I want to have another go. And the other thing that happens is the person who receives the word feels loved, feels noticed, understands that in that moment, God has seen them, spotted them out of a crowd, and cares for them in that particular day, in that particular situation. And that can be an absolute game changer. And when I first became a Christian and heard about this, I was like, man, I want to do this stuff. This sounds absolutely brilliant. Because prophetic words can bring this kind of release, or can bring healing, or can accelerate someone's walk with God in the most amazing, amazing way. And it doesn't have to be anything spectacular. So the last few years at the Vineyard Leaders Gathering, my husband Dave and myself have been asked to coordinate the kind of prophetic workshops for some of the leaders. And it feels like quite a responsibility. And every year we turn up and we feel so nervous and like, what if God has chosen not to speak to us this year? It's going to be awful. So we pull in, you know, trusted friends. This year we were doing it, and you know, you're praying like, oh God, please give me a word, please give me a word, please give me a word. And you feel great if you feel like you've had a really specific word for someone and it's gone well. There was a lady that sat in front of me, and as she sat in front of me, honestly, I was thinking, I don't really feel anything other than like God loves her, but that just sounds so rubbish, because God loves everyone. Surely that's not a prophetic word. And she sat in front of me and I said, I know this sounds ridiculous because we're in a Christian conference, but I just feel like you need to know that God really, really loves you. And then as I said that, I just felt a prompt to say to her, you are his treasure. And she burst into tears and walked out. At which point I was thinking, oh no, I haven't encouraged her or anything. And all of those things I've just said, I didn't do it at all. She came and found me later, because everyone is given like a 20-minute appointment to sit here and receive words. She was in there maybe 30 seconds. She came and found me later and she said, I just really want to thank you, because that's all I needed to hear. And I'd had my money's worth in those 30 seconds, and that was all I needed. And I'd sat there and felt, this is the worst word ever. This is rubbish. So don't despise those little words that you think, I can't say that. That doesn't feel like really profound. Everyone I have ever met loves to hear that God loves them. That God's proud of you. God approves of you. And he doesn't just love you, he likes you. That's always encouraging. That's always comforting. And in that moment, for that woman, that was the most profound thing that she needed to hear. Sometimes God will give us much more specific words. I had a lady turn up at our church earlier in the year, and she's about 23, tiny little sweet little just gorgeous lady. And I looked at her and I felt like in my mind's eye, I didn't actually see it, but in my mind's eye I felt like I could see her holding a sword. And I said to her, I feel like, I don't know if this is me, if I'm a bit mad, if I had too much cheese last night, but I feel like I can see you holding a sword, and it reminds me of someone like wielding authority. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. She was tiny and embarrassed and didn't really say anything, but she came up to me at the end and she said, oh, I don't know if you know, she said, but I've just qualified as a teacher and I had my first observation yesterday, or on Friday, because this was Sunday morning, I had it on Friday, and they said that I was really, really good, but I needed to use my authority more. And she said, that's really helpful. Dave and I were fortunate enough to go to a training session at the beginning of the year at a church plant up in Milton Keynes. And we were asked to talk about kind of how to do prophetic stuff. And there was a guy there who'd led the worship at the beginning. And he then, he was standing kind of like this all during the worship. And I was like, that's an unusual stance. And I said to him afterwards, I said, I just feel like you look like you're just about to jump off a cliff. And he said, that's unbelievable, because tomorrow I'm going into work and I'm resigning. I've been given a new job. And he said, I wasn't sure whether to make the jump or not. It shouldn't be a mad thing that's completely out of the blue. That little word about jumping off the cliff was confirmation of what he was already thinking. I didn't say to him, are you thinking about leaving your job? Because you should totally do it. Because that's not encouraging, and that could lead to a wrong decision. So I'm going to kind of slightly reveal my age here. But one of my first understandings of Kent was when I was a younger child, I used to hide under my duvet as a child and listen to Caesar the Boogeyman. Showing my age, some people will understand that. He was a DJ who worked on Radio Kent, particular. And because of my age, I used to have a little radio that I had an aerial that you had to wiggle, and one of those little like side dials. So if you're younger, you're thinking, what is she talking about? But and you had to kind of tune it in. Because I was north of the Thames, trying to get a Kent station, depending on the weather and the wind, you had to kind of move the aerial to get the signal. And if you knocked it out, you'd get and nothing else. And if you just nudged it a tiny bit, you'd start to get a signal. That's what it's like listening to God. We have to learn just to tune our antennae, to listen to God and to begin to recognize the prompts of the Holy Spirit. Because prophetic stuff is not us, it's God. And God just uses us as a messenger to tune in to what he's saying to encourage his people. We are literally the antennae. And we just have to learn to signal and to lean into that signal. So how do we do that? How do we learn to recognize when God's speaking? If we start to read the Bible, we start to recognize the kind of things he might say. We start to immerse ourselves in his kingdom and his ways. And in that act of obedience, he'll start to speak to us. As we immerse ourselves in worship, as we immerse ourselves in church community, he starts to talk to us and we just learn to listen. But it does take time and it does take practice. So in the book of Corinthians, if Paul had said, eagerly desire cooking, it's unlikely that you would expect someone to be dropped into a kitchen and deliver a 5-star Michelin meal on their first attempt. It's more likely they're going to make beans on toast. They practice and practice and refine and learn and train. And it's exactly the same with spiritual gifts. So we practice how to do it. And we start to tune our antennae, our spiritual antennae. And it's being open to God. God, I'm here and I'm available. Will you please use me? Now, just really, really practically, God will use the kind of personality you are. So my husband, in a former life, was an accountant. Someone had to say it. And when God speaks to him, he often speaks to him through numbers and sums and symbols, because that's how he's wired. He also loves music, and so he will remember lyrics of songs, and sometimes he'll meet someone and a lyric of a song will come into his head. And over the years, he's learnt to realise that lyric of a song might be God speaking to him, because that's how he's wired. By trade, I'm a teacher. I'm an art teacher. And so quite often I will think of like maybe a famous painting I've seen, or more often I might see, in my mind's eye, I might see colours almost like superimposed over someone. And I've learnt over time to recognise that maybe particular colours symbolise different things. But I move in the world of colours. That's my day job. So you can imagine in our house, Dave and I have conversations about what's more important, numbers or colours. Very interesting people. God will use your natural gifts and start to kind of hone them and use them. Because every single person in here has the ability to hear God. Every single person. Every single person is encouraged through Scripture to eagerly desire prophecy and to use it to encourage, to strengthen, and to take care of each other. So when should we do it? When should we prophesy? Well, really, whenever you open your mouth. Not just in church, wherever you find yourself. Anywhere. If we are kingdom people, we are kingdom people 24/7, 7 days a week. So you might meet someone in the supermarket and give them an encouraging word. It doesn't just have to be in church. It might be in your workplace. It might be over the fence with your neighbour. It might be with a family member. It's actually easier to give prophetic words to people you don't know. Because if you know someone, actually you're leaning into your natural knowledge and not necessarily tuning your antennae to hear God. The thing I found as well is that it's never a big booming voice from God. It's very, very rarely an audible voice. It's a bit more like you might stand there on a hot day, not quite as hot today, but maybe the last couple of days, and then you just have this tiny breeze and you just notice it. And in that moment, you might just lean into that breeze to feel the coolness of the air. That's what getting a prophetic word is like. And it's as quick as that. And the thing with prophetic words is you kind of have to make that decision to respond in the moment. You have to think about, okay, God, I really want you to speak to me. And then he might speak and it's like, Oh, no, I'm not sure, I'm not going to give it. And then the moment's gone. We say in the vineyard that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You take that risk by stepping out and saying, it might be me. Not thus says the Lord. It might be me. But I just feel like I believe in God and maybe he's trying to say this to you. Does that make any sense? And if you haven't backed them into the corner by saying, thus says the Lord, they can say, nah, don't know what you're talking about. And you haven't lost anything, but you've had a go. And you've learnt. Everything we do as kingdom people operates on faith. It operates on taking a risk. We talk in our church about, there's a scene in the Indiana Jones movie where he gets to the edge of a cliff and he has to get to the other side. And it looks like there's a huge chasm, but there's actually a bridge. But it's invisible depending on where you're standing. And he has to take that step of faith. He takes that risk, steps out, and then realizes this invisible bridge is there. And then he's able to cross to the other side. Paul talks about doing everything in order, doing things properly. God is an order. God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So you want to make sure that you're not controlling people, you're not manipulating people, you're not revealing people's sin. So we would say in our church that you don't reveal people's sin, you don't prophesy births, marriages or deaths. You've got to be really, really, really sure if you're going to start going down that road. And I would say, don't go down that road. And so that everyone, if they receive a prophetic word, they walk away from that situation feeling better than when they arrived. But where can you do it? Anywhere. When should you do it? Whenever you have that sense of God speaking to you.